This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf Spankov on FUBAR Radio.
It's not loud enough! Oh my God! Hang on, is it because I'm wearing a hat? Hello, my name is Nick Helm. Testing. It's not really the hat.
You look quite cool now.
I've just turned the volume up on my ear. I look quite cool.
Because you've got like your hat above your ears now.
Do I look like when cool people wear hats in ridiculous ways and then all of a sudden people just go, yeah, that's acceptable, and then they all start copying?
Well, you look like you're in a sort of war movie. Do you know when they wear the woolly hats? What's the, like in a sort of, like a Where Eagles Dairy type way?
Well, the sort of way that you would imagine James Coburn would wear a hat.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. I know exactly what you mean.
We're back in the game.
My name's Nick Helm.
And my name is Nathaniel Metcalf.
And you're listening to Nick and...
Nathaniel Metcalf.
Fan Club. My name is Nick Helm, and this is...
Nathaniel Metcalf. And your name is?
Nick Helm.
And I'm?
I've done that thing when you say, you all right? And they say, yeah, I'm all right. You all right? You go, yeah, I'm good. You all right?
And then you're caught in a loop.
You're caught in a bloody time loop.
Time loop.
Bloody time loop, Nathaniel. Oh, no. And now it's 1975. Oh, God. Let's get out of here. especially if you're a DJ. So my name's Nick Helm.
I'm doing it again.
First rule of fan club.
Tell your friends about fan club. By all means, tell your friends about fan club. You got friends?
Have you got friends?
Tell them. You got friends.
If you haven't got friends, you know what I do? Go out and make a few friends. And then, not straight away, because then they'll be on to you.
They'll tweak out.
You have to one thing. Spread the word, guys. Spread the word. Make some friends and then, you know.
Hey, want to be friends?
Do you know what I like to do on a Friday? I like to sit down at midday, speakers out, and listen to Fan Club. Have you ever done that? Or maybe you should sit next to me, knee to knee. Inside. Don't talk!
Listen to Fan Club, shush.
Listen to Fan Club,
shush.
Knee to knee. My old flatmate, that's the first rule. My old flatmate worked for Sky, and that meant that, you know, we'd get free Sky when we lived in, we lived together. Then he moved away. We used to watch the Oscars every week.
Every week?
Every year. We used to watch the Oscars every week. No, because it's like the 42nd Oscars or whatever.
Sure.
So we could watch it once a week for a year.
I reckon that'd be brilliant.
Then we'd be like all knackered.
I'd love it.
Knackered. Especially like in the mid years when they weren't so regulated. It's not the 42nd Oscars, is it? It's like the
92nd
Oscars. Imagine a 92nd Oscars. They'd be on and off quicker than a bullet.
Thanks. I reckon it'd be people going, did you watch the Oscars last night? No. Marlon Brando, I only brought on a bloody Native American to make a political point. And it'd be things like that, wouldn't it? You'd have a shock. It'd be like when people talk about Game of Thrones.
Well, if people could tweet during the olden days.
The olden days.
Marlon Brando's cancelled. No, but he wouldn't be.
He wouldn't be.
He would have been like, oh, yeah, good for Marlon Brando. But then, you know, it would be divisive. Anyway, I was making a point.
You used to watch the Oscars every year.
Oh, I used to watch the Oscars every year, me and my housemate. And then when we moved away from each other, because I got a girlfriend. Did pretty well for myself. And we moved out from each other. Classic Joey Chandler situation. Mm-hmm. Something for everyone on this show.
Main Street.
So he came around and he had managed to get the Oscars on. He came around our house because we had a big TV. And he said, oh, I'll set the Oscars up. We had like a couple of drinks, went out. Oscars don't start till 1. About half 12, he starts fucking around with the TV.
Can't get the Oscars on. Can't get the Oscars to work. Tried it on a laptop, couldn't get no. So me and him ended up watching the entire 5-hour ceremony, sat on the sofa, knee to knee with each other, watching it on his phone. We watched it on his phone. Oh my God, it was, I mean, we lived together, we'd never been that close, not like emotionally, physically. But physically. And so that was a long old 5 hours, knees touching, watching the Oscars for 5 hours.
Which
on
one?
His tiny 85th? Phone. Do you know what? I can't even remember what happened anymore. And I've since fallen out of love with the Hollywood glitz and glamour. I think it's all a lot of bullshit.
Yeah, that's right.
And it wasn't anything to do with that beautiful night. Mm. Anyway, second rule of fan club is, please, for the love of God, tell your friends about fan club. Please, for the love of God. For the love of God, tell your friends about fan club, Clarice. Can I smell an Oscar? Oh. I mean, it's not bad.
It's not bad. I'm enjoying it.
It's not bad. So, what have you been a fan of this week, Nathaniel?
Oh, that's good, Anthony. I have been
not
a fan.
Not Anthony.
Hannibal.
The cannibal. Lecter. I'm on a plane, sat next to a young boy. Have you ever eaten brain before, boy? Would you like to try some of my brains? Can I smell an Oscar? That's his catchphrase. Yeah. Hannibal the Cannibal Hopkins. That's what we call him.
He's a good lad, isn't he?
Hey, Hannibal the Cannibal Hopkins.
He's quite silly, isn't he?
That's magic. That's one of his films, isn't it? That's so basic. Was he in Basic?
Basic? What was Basic?
It's part of that trilogy, wasn't it? There was a film called Basic, a film called Instincts, and another one called Basic Instincts. Whack them together, what have you got? He was in one of them. I think he might have
wasn't
been.
Wasn't he in Basic and Instincts?
I think he was in Instincts, and I think someone else was in Basic, maybe. But they do exist. If anyone else can think of two films with solitary titles that make up when put together,
title.
Make up a third title, then please, for the love of God, keep it to yourself, because we wouldn't know what to do with it if you do write in at this stage. If you do have any fan mail or any suggestions, write in, please do. We do love to laugh at you. Your efforts.
It's been, this is the first one we've done for a little while, isn't it? Actually live on a Friday.
First one live.
Which I think is probably why the adrenaline's going. It's probably why it seems much slicker than usual.
A lot of stuff has happened this week that we probably can't talk about, so...
Yeah.
Keep it light, innit? Just keep it light.
Try and keep it light.
Keep it light and non-topical. What have you been a fan of this week?
I tell you what I've been watching. I've been watching The Deuce. I've seen 4 episodes of The Deuce, which is the James Franco, Maggie Gyllenhaal HBO series, kind of about the sex industry in the 70s. Have you seen those?
Now, Deuce, isn't that a euphemism or a... what is it when you use one word to infer another word?
I don't know.
Isn't juice another word for shit?
Deuce. Are you thinking of oh God, this is good radio, isn't it? Are you thinking of douche?
Two people just trying to remember. Douche is not that. Douche is when you fill like a douche full of water and spray it up your vagina or your anus.
I think that's it.
And then you flush your vagina or your anus out so that it's nice and clean for when your mate pops in.
That's like douchebag, isn't it? Douche
that's
bag.
What
hey,
I think
douche
of douchebag.
Yeah.
I think that's what a douchebag is.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
But drop a deuce, pinch a loaf, take a dump. You know, those are things. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure in the series The Deuce is that is what they refer to as the area it's set in, which I think is the sort of Times Square area of New York City.
Right. I think it means juice. Juice means shit. It's weird, isn't it? Is this is the show good? Is it a show or a film?
Deuce. Yeah, it looks like it's a TV show. think there's seven.
James Franco.
James Franco, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Has James Franco been recommissioned, has he?
He's been recommissioned. He plays two characters, in fact.
Bloody hell. He plays twin brothers. Time.
Twin brothers. They didn't cast his brother, who looks the same as him, though. They
doesn't look that much like him.
I think they're basically the same person. I'm not sure I could tell them apart.
Yeah, but they've got a thing about them. You definitely think they're brothers. It's like Owen and Luke Wilson. They don't really look the same.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a vibe about them. Yeah. You go, they're the same.
James Franco, someone that when he smiles, he shuts his eyes, doesn't he? He goes, great for radio.
It's really trying. Really trying. If you can imagine such a thing. More like James Blinko.
Yes.
Yes, here he is. Here he is. Sorry, guys. Let's start again.
Nick and Nat's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
I was a bit shaky at first, Nat, but now I'm back. I just thought we'll just remark that. Right, so the juice. That's what it's called, the juice. That's what you've been a fan of.
Yeah, and it's sort of set in the... It's very kind of quite grubby. It's sort of a bit more grubbier than The Wire. It's quite... it's got lots of kind of sex in it, but it's all quite... Oh, it's not at all... Nothing titillating about it. It's just quite grim.
I've never seen The Wire.
Have you not?
I was talking to someone about this this week, and I've not seen a lot of TV shows. And the olden days before the internet, and you know, and there was less choice. Mm-hmm. And so it would be kind of like, oh, on Friday nights, Channel 4 had a good lineup, and BBC 2 had a good lineup on like Thursdays and stuff like that. So. You know, TV would sort of like sort itself out for you, especially if you didn't have much of a social life. When you were a lot younger, when you were a teenager, and you basically had to do whatever your parents were doing, you know. And so I found... So I used to watch TV a lot back then, when it was dictated... When you were dictated to by the schedules.
Yeah.
Now it's up to me to choose. I just find the choice overwhelming, so I don't do it.
I'm the same, really. And I don't really bother. I tend to watch films more than I watch TV.
I mean, I live in London. The choice to do anything at any point you want to do it is, you know, so overwhelming that I don't leave my flat.
Yeah, same.
So, do you know, and I think that's my thing with it. I think the other thing that I find about TV shows is that they just go on for fucking ever. You could watch an episode. It didn't matter if you missed an episode of Frasier or Friends or anything like that, because you could just pick it up. But when it's all episodic and it's like, oh, have you binged this box set? And no. But I also don't. It's just like when Game of Thrones started, everyone said how shit it was. And then, you know, it only started getting good by like the third series. And then people were like, oh, no, this is good. But by that point, I was like, okay. And then it just felt like, we got to the fifth series, and it was just like, oh, well, I haven't caught up. And now it's just like, I'm so far behind. And it's just like, and I don't want to go through all of like the emotions that people were going through 5 years ago and being like, you know, like in Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber, when he sees the newspaper article saying, we've landed on the moon. And it's just kind of like, I don't want to be like that far behind the times where things that were like... an international talking point.
Yeah, yeah.
5 years ago, and now just happening for me. I
think I'm the same. I sort of want that. I don't want to watch it now, like everyone else, like all the, you know, the muggles watching something at once.
I want to have loved it, now at this point hate it. Yeah. Because I liked them before they were famous. I remember the Beatles when they were in the Caravan Club. And, of course, they were a much better band.
I like that you're saying that as Paul McCartney, as if he is
That's
saying...
That's not Paul McCartney.
Who's that? Just native...
That's Joe McCartney, his Joe dad. McCartney. His unsupportive... It's Joe... there's not really a Liverpudlian surname, is there?
No.
But if I was Harry Enfield, it would be Joe the Scouse.
Yeah.
Or Scouse One.
Yeah, Scouse John.
He did do a three characters called Scouses, didn't he? Yeah. Fucking hell.
One of them was One of the McGanns, wasn't it?
Until they changed him out for a guy that looked a lot like him. It was Joe McGann for a bit, and then they changed him. It was like when Mr. Bean, when the guy that did all of his extra bits was Angus Deaton.
Oh, yeah,
until Angus Deaton became really famous, and then it was someone else.
Yeah.
And I think the dad, wasn't the dad in Kevin and Perry, wasn't it Duncan Preston from Victoria Wood?
Yes, yeah.
And then they replaced him
with James Fleet, right?
Is it James Fleet?
In the movie, in I the think movie. It's James
okay,
Fleet.
I thought it was Tom Courtney.
No, that's James Fleet.
Right, okay, fine.
But again, it just feels like, just get Duncan Preston back.
Just get Duncan Preston back, you know.
Because people have got a fondness for him, and it's been nice him being a film, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but also just for the fact that that's the dad.
Yeah.
We've watched...
Because it also looks like we've got a movie now. It's a movie now, so we need a big movie star like James Fleet from... it's like, wouldn't have made any difference. No one's going to see James Fleet film.
It's still going to be an excellent movie that... It's going to be, what, was it the number one British movie of all time until The Inbetweeners came out?
Yeah, but do you know what I did? One of the things I used to like about that is I really used to respect Kathy Burke. Still do respect her. But I love that thing there after doing Nil by Mouth and getting, like, the can film. It's like, what are you doing next? She's like, Kevin and Perry Go Large. Yeah. And it's like, that's the follow-up to her winning Best Actress at Cannes.
No, she's brilliant. She doesn't act that much anymore. She directs theatre. But I just remember on... I just remember on TFI Friday, she was talking about Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. And Chris Evans was like, so you've just made this TV series, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. What's that? Tell us about that. She goes, now, give it a go. And it was really, and you're just like, that's really honest. But it's just like, and she was right, you know? It's like, when you first you watch it, it's just like, fucking hell. And then it actually is quite a comforting TV show. And why are we talking about that?
Kevin Perry, James Fleet.
TV series. And it was like, and it's just so, but what I can handle is I can handle sitting down and watching 2 hours or 3 hours and watching one commitment of one film and going, oh, I enjoyed that. And then that being over.
Yeah. I think TV series are best enjoyed in, like, when they are, like, six. Because you're going to do, like, six, and then there'll be another series. I'm liking it. So I'd like to see a second series at some point. But I want a break. When I've done the 6 hours of grubbiness. What are you drinking then?
I'm drinking Lilt Zero Pineapple and Grapefruit. He's literally scraping the bottom of the barrel this week. He has replaced the Pepsi, though, and the Pepsi Max, but no Pepsi Max Cherry.
Zero.
Just American drinks. He's got cans of Mountain Dew that are actually priced at 69p.
Are they the American Mountain Dew, or is it the energy drink?
No, it's 69p on them, and it's not the energy drink. I think it's Mountain Dew.
Oh, I quite like a Mountain Dew, not the energy drink.
I love Mountain Dew.
Hmm.
It's pretty much, I think, the worst drink for you. I love it. Mountain Dew was like in the mid 90s. Our vending machine at school started selling Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper. The Dr. Pepper, if you collected the ring pulls, you could get a Saint pin. So, whatever year the
Saint pin,
yeah,
Val Kilmer the Saint.
What year was that? 96, 97?
I want to say 97. Can we look it up? 97.
Yeah, it was after Batman, right?
Yeah,
used his Batman money to do the. I mean, I don't know if they're having a dispute with each other or if they're actually.
I think they're discussing what year the Saint came out. Was it 96 or 97? Val Kilmer was a Saint. But no Levi Roots.
I didn't have any Levi Roots. But do you know what? I haven't had Lilt in a long time. It's delicious. It's a totally tropical taste.
It really is.
With zero added sugar. But it's not quite.
Like a Lilt.
It misses the mango.
1997, yes.
Same year as obviously Jurassic Park: The Lost World, Batman and Robin, and my favourite and yours. Can't think of another one. But yeah, 1997, great year, great fucking year, great fucking year for movies. Was Titanic out in 1997?
Might be 97. Actually, I think it's 98.
Was it 98? Maybe it was. Spice World was out the same time as...
I think World's a good call for 97.
No, Spice World was the same year as Titanic, so whatever Titanic...
Okay.
Was because I couldn't get into Titanic, so I went to see Spice World with a group of, you know, girls. 23rd of January 1998, Titanic. When was Spice World out? This is not radio.
Con Air.
Of course, directed by my second cousin, Simon West.
He is too, right?
Such a good film, Con Air. Misunderstood.
Great movie.
The Naked Gun of the action series.
Although Simon West after that did
Boogie Nights.
Simon West after that did Tomb Raider, didn't he? Mm. And I remember in that saying that he was sort of making a point of saying you don't have to make films in the way you used to, and that you can just remove all plot and everything now, and how this was like a real sort of step forward. And you watch it and you go, but that's what you've done. It's got no... Like, it's like, you don't need to. It's just set pieces. That's all you need now.
Is that what he was saying?
Yeah. And I remember, like, watching it and going...
You're an idiot.
God, that's so... It's such an empty experience watching it, though.
Tomb Raider is famously awful, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I think he thought he'd come up with a new way of making films, like...
Well, I think what he forgot was that Jerry Bruckheimer made Con Air. And he was substituted in as the new Michael Bay.
Yeah.
But he was basically Michael Bay in training. Who was Tony Scott in training? It was just basically fucking Jerry Bruckheimer and Don Simpson Bruckheimer. They got their hands on Tony Scott. They made a bunch of films with Tony Scott. Tony Scott went off and did his own thing and took his style with him. And they're just like, but that's our style. So they got Michael Bay to take over. Michael Bay did a few, and then he fucked off. And then they were just, but that. Oh. And then Simon West came over.
For one.
And like, I don't know.
I'm too good for this.
I don't know. If you're listening, Simon,
give us a ring.
I know you don't know who I am, and we've never talked, and I've never met you. But
maybe he listens.
But maybe you're listening.
He reaches out.
Maybe one of your friends told you about us, and if you're listening, let's just fix the rift.
Yeah, come on. It's been too long.
It's been too long, mate.
It's been a long time since Tomb Raider, and we forgive you. What's he done since?
Well, he did Expendables 2.
Did it? Oh, right, yeah. Reach out.
Anyway, so this week I watched... so I can watch a whole series in one go if it's a series of things. But if it's just if it's 8 hours, I can't sit down and watch 8 hours. But I can watch 6 half-hours.
Sure.
And I can also... What I actually watched was 8 half-hours for a brilliant show.
Go on.
That I like to call... It was on Netflix. Nick Knowles' The Retreat.
And it was it broadcast on originally, or is it a Netflix original?
I don't know what it would have been broadcast on. I mean, it's basically him and two of the builders from DIY SOS. And they go to a yoga retreat in Thailand. And there's a bunch of other people there that have all got kind of like serious depression issues and mental health disorders, and one guy's got diabetes, and they all go out there to better.
Can I imagine him putting his arm around someone with diabetes and like having a soft word with him?
So you know what the show is, right? It's Nick Knowles, a bunch of builders.
That's
go
all
out,
right, mate.
Yeah,
that's all right.
They
mate.
All go out with their problems, and Nick Knowles basically hosts this show called The Retreat, right?
And
he does yoga,
dog.
And he there's a spiritual side. They've all got to be vegan. They all have to give themselves a colonic.
Is that on film?
I think they're giving themselves colonic every day. A douche. They're douching themselves. But
Nick Knowles is the douche.
But you kind of like, it's Nick Knowles' The Retreat, and you kind of know what it is, yeah, until you watch it, and then you go, oh, what the fuck is this? Where it's like Nick Knowles, I guess, I don't know how they contractually did it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I guess Nick Knowles was contracted to be the host. It was like a spin-off of DIY SOS. But he's not up for it. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't enjoy it. And so you think what the show is going to be is it's going to be they slowly win him over on Eastern practices and spirituality and veganism.
Oh, so he's quite cynical about it all.
Really cynical. And you're kind of like, why did you sign up for it? Billy, the other, I think he might be the carpenter.
Right.
He goes out. He completely embraces it. So basically the camera follows him around a lot. It follows all the other people around a lot as they kind of like have to deal with the fact that they've got a fast for 7 days. And when they do eat, it's like just raw vegetables. And, you know, they have like raw vegetables when they get there, then they fast for 7 days, then they go on to a raw vegetable diet. They have like a vegan banquet. And I've been eating vegan recently, and it's not been, it's not really felt like a compromise. And I made sort of like a gluten-free pasta bolognese pasta bake type thing with vegan cheese on it, and it tastes exactly like meat. It's great. So I don't really feel like I've made any, you know, any, and it was gluten-free as well, so it's kind of like really miserable. But they're not doing that. They're eating kind of like bowls of clear hot water broth and stuff like that. And it sounds awful, but it sounds like the sort of thing where, but it's kind of like a climate. It's kind of like a... the storyline for the series is that he gets won over, and he doesn't. He doesn't get won over at any point. Spoiler alert. It's fascinating to watch. He's not in the last episode because he leaves. Like,
is it one of those things where he's asked for more money and they've gone, no, for DIYSOS, and then he's gone, they've gone, I'll tell you what, we'll give you the money, but you've got to give us another show as well.
I can't, I don't know.
Can you do as a spin-off and we've got another, and we've got someone else who's got a format. Can you make that a spin-off?
I don't know. I don't know why he agreed to do it. He comes out of it really, really badly. There's all of these shots of him in his downtime, like just strumming a guitar. So he's sort of like, I think it must have been just before he came out with his album. But it's like, it's mind-boggling, really.
What prompted it? What made you?
We put it on because we thought this would be a laugh, and then in actual fact, I really got into it, and I thought it was great. The worst thing about it was Nick Knowles, because he's just so kind of like antagonistic, and he shits on like everyone else's like opinions.
And shits in a bag as well, I've heard.
He doesn't shit in a bag; he flushes a bag of water. No, but he's not the guy that's filmed. Billy is the one that really embraces it all, and he's like talking about, you know, giving himself colonic and stuff like that. And you go, there's just basically, it's a whole group of people that go out and they're really scared, and the whole idea of colonic irrigation scares them, the whole idea of not eating for 7 days scares them, you know, the whole idea of going to another country with a bunch of strangers, some of them have real anxiety issues, it's all is very terrifying. And through the course of the 8 episodes, everybody grows and learns, and they embrace this new kind of way of thinking, and they let it help their way of life to improve themselves, and everyone does that except for Nick Knowles and the builder Jules, and they both find excuses to leave. Like Nick Knowles has to leave because there's a family emergency. He said there's a family emergency, and I feel like I should be at home. Everyone's all right actually, and it's all been resolved. But it does make me think that maybe I should be back. And you just like go, there's not a family. There's not been a thing. Do you know what I mean?
The cat went missing for about 8 hours, and it's back now. But I really think I should be at home.
And you've got one more episode to film, and you haven't, you know, and you're leaving. And it was just kind of like, but
he's just hungry.
Everybody else just kind of like goes. I just found it just so. I can't believe that he let it go out, really, because he just comes across. And when he leaves, then you're left with a group of other people, all of these strangers who are non-celebrities, who are all kind of there, who have gone through this. Like a spiritual, emotional, physical transformation, and it's just really interesting. And you know, I cried in one episode. Like there was one episode that I found so moving. I was just watching Nick Knowles' The Retreat, and I was just I was absolutely devastated and in tears. And I just found it kind of, yeah. I didn't think that it would be I thought I'd watch one episode, but before I knew it, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'd watched all eight. You know, it's just something to put on while you're eating your dinner, isn't it?
Not while they're having a colonic. They'll have it.
Well,
a pasta bake. Well.
Yeah, but I've watched all of the Human Centipede movies now, so I wanted to.
I watched. Did you remember Celebrity Detox? That was one I watched, where it was Keith Duffy, Kim Wilde,
Richard Blackwood,
and they all refused a colonic.
Except Richard Blackwood,
who had one. And then it's just all on film, and he ends up like basically carrying like a bucket of shit. Everyone's like, I'm not doing that on telly. And he's like, I'll do it. Good for him, though.
They asked
good
them all individually, and they were like, no, I'm not doing that.
Of course
I'm not. Doing that.
Not on telly.
Yeah, do that. He came out, though.
Was game.
Didn't he have, like, crayons and stuff?
Crayons?
That he ate when he was a kid. Didn't they find, like, crayons in his shit? I can't remember. Maybe someone said it on air, but I don't. It's half past, so I'm going to play a song now. I mean, we're on schedule. We've not watched anything this week.
I want to tell you what else I watched.
Oh, what?
I could do that. I watched Howard the Duck for the first time in about 30 years.
For the first time in 30 years? Okay.
It's an odd one. You can't work out who it's aimed at. I used to watch it a lot when I was a kid, though. I thought it was a real... Now you watch it and you go... God, this isn't for kids.
He's watching.
All.
He's reading Play Duck, right?
Yeah,
and it's a duck with feathered tits. On
yeah,
the front.
But you see them.
yeah, you see them.
There's a duck in the bath as well. And there's more. It's like
see her tits.
Duck nudity.
And then Leah Thompson falls in love with Howard the Duck and fucks the duck.
She doesn't.
They fuck.
People say that people
fuck a duck. Fuck a duck.
But it is weird. I mean, you go, this is for kids. She opened up his wallet and he's got duck condoms, but it's not in a wrapper. It's just like a sort of weird. It's just the actual condom.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is a PG. This was like, you can't work out who it's aimed. Then the rest of it, you go, but it is like a kids' film. It's just like,
yeah, but
totally.
It was made in a time when. Kids, I think now films for kids is kids' films, and then everything's a kids' film to a certain extent because they're the ones that go to the cinema, apparently. But like, but it was made at a time when that was all a very grey area where Ghostbusters was a kids' film, but it's not really a family film. It's weird when you compare. So Ghostbusters came out, then the real Ghostbusters came out, and then Ghostbusters 2 came out much later. And by that point, they'd cleaned it all up. And I was watching a thing, and there was a clip of Ghostbusters 2 that came up where Ray is... on the top of the Statue of Liberty, and the Statue of Liberty steps on a car, and Ray chats and he goes, "Oh, sorry," and go, "Oh, that's a sweet joke. That's a sweet joke made by the guy that got a blowjob from a ghost in the first film." And you know, it's kind of like Ghostbusters. There's loads of swearing in it. It's really scary, but it's like Indiana Jones level scariness.
Yeah,
you know.
They have that thing now, don't they? They say like Avengers and things are four quadrant movies. They play to young people, old people, teenage people. Adults, it's got that thing, and you think, well, that's what they're trying to do, but they're just sort of like weirdly like inappropriate in a kind of. But Howard the Duck, particularly, I think there's a lot said now about.
Oh, but they've perfected it. This is what a blockbuster is, and there is something for everyone in those Marvel films.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's anything. I mean, I don't know. There is something for everyone in those films, but nothing that really sticks out that much. I think they're all very sort of like they're Disney, aren't they? So they're all very smooth. There's no jagged edges. Whereas stuff like Back to the Future, The Goonies, Indiana Jones, there's stuff that's like jags out so much. You're just like, fucking hell, that was harsh. In a way that there was stuff like that in Shazam. You know, where you go, fuck it, when, spoiler alert, but when that guy gets thrown out the window and you're just like going, they're at the top of a skyscraper. You can only imagine his horrific death. You know, just this guy that was in a boardroom just gets picked up and thrown out of a smashed through a window of a skyscraper, and you know he's dead. You know, and that was kind of like an old school joke that you wouldn't really necessarily get in a Marvel movie. It felt like there was genuine menace and genuine threat there, whereas because there's so many Marvel movies, it all becomes a bit inconsequential. Because there's nothing that's going to happen at the end of this film. Yeah. They're not going to be able to resolve in Ant-Man 2.
But I do think there's something. I do sometimes get nostalgic for that kind of thing, and it feels like when films are aimed at kids, it almost feels like, well, I just couldn't watch it now. Whereas I would be able to watch something aimed at kids that was made 25 years ago. It'd still probably entertain me. Whereas I think there's that. It almost feels like there's something quite infantile about kids' films in a way that wasn't then. It feels like everything's now sort of pitched younger. I mean, there's a thing like in comic books, they sort of have things like, oh, this comic book, this Spider-Man comic's for younger readers. And you go, but why can't the other one be? Surely that one should also be aimed at, you know,
No, because you know the difference between teen fiction and kid fiction.
No, but it was always, it wasn't the case when I was a kid, you know what I mean? So you think that, well, you know, when I was 5 or 6, I'd be reading a Spider-Man comic, but it'd be the same as the...
Because they're justifying, they're building a fan base, and C, they're building a fan base, and C, I'm not going to tell you B, but C, they're justifying the creation of another book. So they're going, well, this one, we've got another Spider-Man book. What makes this one so special? It's aimed at preteens. Great. But the other benefit of aiming a book at preteens is that you get them early. Hmm. Right? There might be something that's a bit too... I would say that although lots of kids read comic books, they've always been a little bit late school... early to mid teenage centric, right? Where it's aimed at sort of like between, you know, let's say 10 and 15 year olds, right? And if you're aiming at something that's preschool, you're getting the Spider-Man, let's say it's a Spider-Man preschool kind of comic book, you're getting them in early, you're making them a Spider-Man fan, and then you're going to have them as fans for life. And then when they grow up, they're going to get their kids to read it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just a new way of kind of marketing things. And you know, Marvel were in the absolute shit, weren't they? Like 12 years ago?
Yeah.
People forget, you know, that Marvel were completely bankrupt
in
the 90s.
Yeah, they went bankrupt.
Blade was kind of like their only property that did well until like the late 90s. Mm. And they were up to the late 90s. And then yeah, everyone's going on about like, oh, fucking hell, Endgame made $2 billion in 2 weeks. 10 years ago, it wasn't a thing. Like, a decade ago, it wasn't a thing. Even Thor the Dark World, you know, was a flop, you know? Like, it didn't, it was like, it still is, it's the worst Marvel movie in terms of box office. And that was, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
So they were still kind of like shaking. Now it's just like this behemoth where they're all going to sort of like progressively make more and more money. And even stuff like Ant-Man, which is just a light action comedy, you know, even that's like making like millions and millions of dollars because they've tied it into this huge franchise. But Marvel... learning how to grow a franchise now, you know, and they're learning from the films as well. I think the comic books are learning just as much from the films as the films are taking from the comic books, and so they're building up the... I mean, you know more about this than I do, but they're it's almost like they're at a point now where they're
reacting to the films now.
You know, 80s, in the late 70s there were no comic book movies. Then Superman came out, and it was just like, this is how you do it. And then the 80s, people were like scrambling around to sort of like work out how to do it again. And then the late 80s, Batman had a resurgence in the comic books throughout the 80s, where he got reinvented because the TV series was repeated loads, and everyone thought that's what Batman is. And then in the comic books, it became really dark. And then all of a sudden, Tim Burton came along, and everyone was expecting like an Adam West style thing. And everyone, you're making Batman, are you? Like, I remember at the time, people were going, "Is it going to say pow on the screen?" Is it?
Yeah.
But when Batman came out, they're like, "Oh fuck!" And so, like, it's a really sort of recent history of how important and huge not only comic books but geek culture has become in cinema, it's also ruined cinema.
Yeah.
Because now, what did I watch this week? I watched Snowpiercer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So Snowpiercer, funnily enough, starring Chris Evans, Captain America.
It's also based on a graphic novel.
Is it based on a graphic novel? Well, that's the thing. It's not a big graphic novel,
No,
is it?
No. It's a Euro graphic novel.
Right, and it's a novel, right? It's not like an ongoing series.
No. Yeah, it's like a...
So Snowpiercer, that's a good... I was going to say it's original property, but fine, it's based on a graphic novel. Well, again, do you know what I mean? It's based on something. It's based on a property. It was made in 2013. No one watched it. It's on Netflix. Everyone's like, "Is this Netflix original?" It's like, no. It came out of the cinema. I remember there being sort of like advertisements for it, and trailers and posters and stuff. But I don't remember anyone saying that they saw it, and I remember it getting relatively good reviews. It did nothing at the box office, and it's just disappeared all this time. And now it's got a second chance on. Netflix, and you watch it and you go, they don't make any films like this at all anymore. It's sort of like it's action adventure. The cast in it is fucking incredible. like it's set on a train and they've got to get from one end of a train to the other end of the train, but it's not like
There's no mid-budget.
It's not like The Raid or anything. It's like this action adventure film set on the train. It's better than that. It's futuristic science fiction, and it's like got a world that they've built. And
I'd like to see it.
And it's good. And every stage that they get to, there's sort of like this new cast member that turns up, and you go, these guys are all, you know, Tilda Swinton's in it, and John Hurt, and I can't remember who the last guy is, but. Anyway, so it's not like this film, you're watching it again. Not like, oh, they don't make films like this anymore. They literally don't make films like that from 2013 anymore.
Yeah,
because they don't make money.
And they don't make sort of mid-budget movies now. They kind of make, you've got like Fox Searchlight, which are basically Oscars movies.
Ed Harris.
And you do, okay. And then you do massive movies that cost $200 million, but you don't have anything in between.
Solo cost $500 million.
Did it really?
Because they made it twice, didn't they?
Of course.
They filmed 90% of it, and then they said, we don't like it. Unbelievable. I mean, that's crazy.
It is. When you think about what you could do
outside of movies. Half a billion. can you put those Nick Knowles facts back up? I find that fascinating. Because you watched the show, and you watched Nick Knowles' The Retreat, and Noel said he was a changed man afterwards and lost 9 kilos into the bargain. He did lose weight. He did not enjoy making the show, and so his films. It's what the end result is. Every time they sit down and have a meal, and have a chat, Nick Knowles acts like he is the host of a TV series about this retreat. Yeah, so he's always sort of like chairing the discussion. Yeah, but that is not the format of the show. The format of the show is following, like, 9 strangers. One of them happens to be celebrity Nick Knowles, and they're at this retreat. But the way Nick Knowles is doing the show is as if it's his show. And then he leaves the show, and then there's no guy. So what I suspect happened was...
There's a making of, good making of that you...
Yeah, what happened was it was his show. He didn't enjoy any process of it, and then he left.
And also, do you think there was a thing going, no, you're not hosting it. It's like a documentary. We're following you and these other people.
There must have been a complete sort of difference of opinion on how to do it.
Yeah.
And so he went and did it. He was sort of like persevering and doing it his way. Either they were making the Nick Knowles The Retreat and then he left, or they were never making Nick Knowles The Retreat. I think it's The Retreat with Nick Knowles. They would never make it. He's just as important in the series as everyone else is, right? And they were never making that show that was in his head, and that he left. And either they were making Nick Knowles The Retreat, and it was a Nick Knowles vehicle, and then he left. So they had to re-edit the entire series to make him just a part of it, but it was contractually obligated to be called The Retreat with Nick Knowles. Or they were never making that series and he left. And
I think what it
and
needs,
he's just an absolute mentalist in it. Like hosting conversations where... And he's not contributing anything to the conversations. He's not giving anything of himself away. It's just everyone else is sort of like exposing, you know, the real personal stuff. And he's not. And he's sort of like judging the whole process. And being rude to people as well. Not people in part of the group. But someone's doing like a yoga lesson. He just walks off because he can't be bothered. And it's just like, it's just really rude. And they're like saying, if you don't like, just give it a go. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But you have to give it a go in order to not like it. And he's not giving anything a go. He's just walking off and going, fuck that, I'm not doing it. I feel silly. And I think he's thinking that the majority of his viewers will be on his side.
So it's like he's a bit like sort of alpha male-y kind of, guys, what's all this about vegan food?
Ugh. Yeah, and he's sort of like, it's like he thinks he's doing a hard-hitting expose on how bullshit these yoga retreats are. And everyone else is just like going, God, this is a whole new way of thinking and doing things. And you could actually, you don't have to come to Thailand to do it. You could actually put this stuff in your real life. And he's come back, and it says, Null says he was a changed man afterwards and lost night, because he's now trying to save face from the fact that he made a complete arsehole of himself on this show. And then since returning from Thailand, Nick has published a meat-free cookbook called Proper Healthy Food. And because his whole PR team have gone, you look like such a prick in this. You've got to save yourself somehow. And he's gone, actually, I have learned some stuff. At no point was he into any of the vegan stuff. You know, he didn't take any of
their
advice.
And how is he with all the kind of mental health stuff in it? Is he kind of... Because I always think of him, he's a bit kind of... He's sort of like...
He has started his own yoga treat in the Maldives. No. I mean, that's absolute... Natalie, watch the show and then come back and tell me what you think. I don't expect you to watch it now. But, like, I think this seems like...
I'd watch the Hearts of Darkness style documentary about the making of it.
80% vegan now. But I was also thinking about this whole 80%. Sorry, you were going to say something and I didn't let you say it.
No, that was it, really. That it just feels it's probably easier to watch the documentary about the making of it.
I've never seen anyone that really... I've never seen such a friendly TV face, personality, celebrity guy. You know, DIY SOS... Whatever you think about Nick Knowles, DIY SOS is a really good show.
But then you would think I would think on paper that sounds like quite a good idea for a TV show.
I don't understand what
went
wrong.
You'd be like, Nick Knowles, he's the guy who will be like putting his arm around people and go. So yeah. You would imagine it would be, now I'm a bit, because he sort of sees, his outward persona is, I'm a bit of a geezer, but I'm not really. And I'm sort of a geezer, but I'm also a modern man kind of thing, isn't he?
But when you make TV, you're making TV, right? Yeah. And they use your personality, they use your public personality, your public persona as a vehicle to hang a show off, right? And they're basically, the pitch would be, right, Nick Knowles is a man of the people, works with builders, so Nick Knowles and all of those builders, they're going to go off and do a yoga retreat. A, it's fish out of water, it's going to be hilarious watching them try and do yoga. But B, as the series progresses, they're going to slowly come around to it and learn things that they didn't know they would.
Or they don't, but they've got to try it.
And but you can see the pitch and you go, on paper, that works. And there's something that's gone wrong with making it where you just like go, it's absolutely insane that they let that go. The other thing about like being 80% vegan, people go, 80% vegan, wow, that's bollocks. It's like, I don't understand why people want to... I can understand why people are so militantly vegan, because it's like shouting at a wall, you know, shouting into a void. Just like... I can't understand why people are so personally attached to having to eat meat all the time. And I think people say stuff like 80% vegan is kind of like, oh, well, you're not proper vegan. I think anything that you do, if you exchange milk for almond milk, for instance, then you're taking pressure off of the dairy industry, right? And then the need to provide that much milk, right? Mm. And okay, it fucks up dairy farmers, but I mean, we're talking about the future of the planet at this point, right?
Yeah, I don't think you can have a go at someone to be like, if someone's going, yeah, I'm 80% vegan now, how does that manifest itself? It's like, well, I do love a bacon sandwich or something. And you go, fair enough. So as a treat, he has a bacon sandwich once a week or...
But, like, let's just say you really want a cheeseburger, right?
Yeah.
Right? If you exchange the cheese for vegan cheese, right, you're still doing something, right? You're still doing something. You may be eating meat. Also, the vegan cheese is basically vegan cheddar slices, which basically are the best version of vegan cheese that you can get. And they taste exactly like the worst version of cheese that you can get, which is like the bright orange squares that you get that you put on beef burgers, right? But they're the same. They taste the same. So why not just exchange them and make that little bit... So I think the scary thing is all the vegan shouting and saying, you have to be vegan, you have to give up meat. And all the meat eaters going, fuck you, I'm going to go further in the opposite direction. Just like, give up bits. Mm. It's okay to be 80% vegan. Yeah. It's a step in the right direction.
I don't know. Okay, every time I have a veggie sausage, I go... Do you know what? You can barely tell. Especially the ones that are based on like veggie Cumberland sausage or something. Mm. They actually have all the herbs and things in them. It is like, I can barely taste the difference in this. And you think, you might as well, given that I have sausages, like you might have a sausage sandwich. So you're having it between two slices of bread anyway, yeah, with ketchup on. And it just think, it's not really going to make any difference.
I would say those are one of the things I would make an allowance on. I went, there's a pub around the corner from me, and I went there and I don't really like roast dinners. So I went there on a Sunday and I had bangers and mash. And it was the nicest sausages and mash I have ever, ever eaten.
But if you're having something quality.
And then I went there again and they did vegetarian sausages and mash. Oh, they did. You can exchange sausages for veggie sausages, and I did that, and it wasn't as nice. Fine, but as David Trent says, you have to get out of the mentality that every meal you have has to be a gastronomic delight, and sometimes you're just having lunch. You're just having something to eat.
It's fuel.
It's just fuel. And I think if you got out of that mentality and went to, all right, I'm going to have a couple of really nice meals this week.
Mm.
And then the rest is just sort of like, not survival, but the rest is kind of like, you are making comma. Do you know what? I made a fucking delicious gluten-free vegan bolognese this week. And I had it. I made so much of it that I had it 3 nights, and I'm going to go down the road because there's a health food shop and buy some vegan cheese because it's the only thing that really gets it through. It's a bit dry, so I'm going to have that for lunch today. But do you know what I mean? I'm not banging on about it, but because I'm not vegan, but I am. Mm. I mean, I am eating
percentage
less. I would say, am I as much as Nick Knowles? I would say I was 80% vegan, like Nick Knowles.
What a prick.
Knowles once said he'd only try a liquid diet once you can juice pork pies and scotch eggs. I mean, I can... Can you imagine? Can you imagine the horror show of putting a scotch egg in a Nutribullet and then drinking it? I mean, that is...
It does feel a little crazy. Play a song. Play a song. Oh God!
Well, it's summertime. How else better to celebrate the beginning of summer?
Every day, she drives.
and Nat's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
Nick, we've just been cancelled.
So that was Alice Cooper doing a cover version of Rolf Harris's Sunrise.
I liked it.
It was from 1971, I think. It was from Love It to Death.
It's quite an interesting... There was quite a sort of Beach Boys-y almost element to it.
It's weird. It's quite a dark album. And then right at the end, they do a Rolf Harris cover.
It's nice.
Weird. I first heard that before, obviously, Rolf Harris became cancelled. It's not as light as...
No.
I mean, he is like literally a convicted paedophile. you can't just like, it's not like the internet's overreacted and decided Rolf Harris is cancelled.
I suppose Rolf Harris is cancelled now.
He's not allowed to fuck kids now anymore. He's literally, he's officially been, by the government, been cancelled.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, not even allowed to go to schools anymore and wave at the kids. But fucking hell. But there was so Alice Cooper were recording their first album, and their first Warner Brothers album, third album, first album outside of Frank Zappa. And there was a cleaner singing the song, and they were all like, "What's this amazing song?" And she said, "It's Sunrise by Rolf Harris." So they hunted it down and then did a cover version of it. Little were they to know, 50 years later. Wouldn't be able to play that live. So I panicked today. I couldn't think of a song that I haven't played yet. It's a good cover.
It's good.
Tragic history to it. Hi all. But of course, this means nothing if you're listening on iTunes. So so we're going to play our... Hi all. Love the show. 5 stars. I'm a fan of Kelly's Heroes. Enough with the pleasantries. I've had it with this. You've deliberately undermined my complaint about Sam Asher's score. He definitely got 4, not bloody 2. This may be all of a big joke to
you. It is not a big joke. Take me, it very seriously.
This matters. Take it very seriously. I would settle on some sort of do-over or a live recount. Hope all are well. Love, Sam. Now... Sam here has messaged me privately, and you?
And me, yeah.
We haven't finished with that one. I don't know why you've deleted it. Sam, you've got to understand that we are merely figureheads for a well-oiled machine. You know, although we give the impression that the show is very... Hang on, I'm pressing the wrong button.
Sorry.
Have I just got to let it play out? What's going... Hang on. Natalie? What's going on? I'm pressing the wrong button. Oh, this is rather... It's really long. If I press that... press that again, it stops it. Yes, good. Sorry, Sam. As I was saying, although we give the impression that it's a very slick show, there are actually a lot of people that are working behind the scenes to give us this professional sheen, veneer. And one of them is Natalie, and she does have difficulty counting. So it may take a couple of weeks before we rectify any complaints that you may have and address them. But we do, as I say, have a team of boffins working around the clock
tirelessly to make sure
that Sam Asher's score gets re-evaluated. But what I would say was, originally we had him down as a 3. We did a recount. It turned out that he was 2. And if you do insist that he was 4, it may be another couple of weeks before we manage to...
We can start again. Let's start again. But let's start it from scratch.
But if you want us to... I mean, we can't start again yet, can we? We've got to do a full year, and then when we do a year, then we're going to... once we've done a full year, then we'll have him reevaluated. So thanks for that, but that is not. But I'm that message from Sam is not the Sam Asher. He's obviously talking about the score that he gets for better or worse. Sorry, I mean, it's not meant to be a controversial segment to the show, but it turns out that it's got one listener very riled up. We're doing our best. We're just doing our best. Dear Five Star Fan Club, love the show. Thanks for all of your great chats and suggestions. I've recently enjoyed the heartbreaking Back to Life and the bizarre and surreal An Evening with Beverly Lovely. Thanks to
back
you.
To life?
It's Daisy Haggard's TV show.
Yes, of course.
Daisy Haggard's incredible TV show, as scored by former fan clubbers Solomon Gray. My question is, what do you think is the best animated show for adults? I think my favourite has to be BoJack Horseman. It can easily be dismissed as a frothy throwaway cartoon, but I've never seen any other show deal so expertly with topics as wide as veganism, depression, the corruption of celebrity, dementia, feminism, gun control, and sexuality. Sexuality. It is frequent sexuality. I find it very sexual. It is frequently cynical, but never nihilistic, and although there's rarely a happy ending, it's funny and clever. Writing always makes it enjoyable and fun. Keep up the good work, guys. Lewis. Lewis, I would have to agree with you. I dismissed... I've never really got into Rick and Morty. That's my fault. I know everyone thinks it's incredible, and I've seen some bits of it. I saw one bit when it went really psychedelic, and I thought that was great. I've never really... I don't really watch a lot of TV, as I've said. But... one of the things that I thought that I knew what it was Rick and Morty, BoJack Horseman, and I just thought, oh, I know what this is, and I don't need to watch it. And then I watched it, and I think it's actually often an incredibly beautiful TV series, and one that actually touched my heart. And I think you're absolutely right, Lewis. Good review. What do you think?
Never seen it.
Okay. Good morning / afternoon. Sadly, I can't write a review as I use an Android podcast app.
Android.
I do love the show more than Commode Mayo and all of the other FUBAR radio shows. We are better than all of the other FUBAR shows. That's absolutely correct. And we're better than Commode / Mayo. Really getting to the nub of things. Oh, that's what I watched. I watched that incredibly cynical, incredibly horrible, incredibly vile, mean, and why have they called Wicked, and incredibly, you know, the Ted Bundy movie with Zac Efron. I watched that, and I watched Simon Mayo's Mark Kermode's review of that, and I just thought, what the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, sadly, I can't write a review as I use an Android podcast. I do love the show, and that more. I would love to give it 5 stars if only I could. Which comic book would make a decent movie franchise? Oh, I don't know. Any other Marvels? P.S. Can you play more Sweet, please? Francis Jolie.
I might play some Sweet. I quite like the idea of playing some Sweet. I'll have a think about it.
Well, you know more about comics than I do. What comic book do you think?
Decent, I think also that I always dislike the idea that things have to be movies. Why can't they just be comic books? Why can't it just be a book, guys? Why can't we just get along? But thank you for emailing. I'll have a think about the Sweet. Sure. Might be a good...
Hello, Natty and Nikki. Lovely show. You make Tuesdays and Wednesdays good.
Fridays.
Live on a Friday. I'd love to hear more stuff. What do you think of Falcon Crest? Thought it was smashing. A country practice was also nice. Lovely to meet you, Tone Marie. What was Falcon Crest?
Was it soap? I don't remember Falcon Crest. It was in the 80s, wasn't it? Soap or something.
Okay, thanks, Tone Marie.
A country practice. Was that Kevin Whateley?
No, that was Pete Practice.
Right, yeah.
All right, now we're on to the good stuff. These are the reviews. FUBAR, flute playing Indian. Why have you moved? Why did you do that? Why did you scroll up while I was? I mean, fucking hell.
Flute playing Indian is the name of the guy.
The guy that's written in. This is a wonderful podcast, only possibly improved by Nat saying FUBAR repeatedly for 2 hours. Is that how you
mean,
say it?
FUBAR. I guess I do.
I guess you say it weirdly. Never thought about it.
I do.
Go on, say it again.
FUBAR.
We'll do it without the music.
FUBAR.
Are we recording that so that we've got it?
Yeah. There you go. I'll say that.
5 stars. Perfect show for those of us who are slightly mentally interesting. Keep it light. I'm quite a few months behind. Looking forward to the inevitable Nicer Nisa sponsorship, but no spoilers, please. Wonderful. Barry Venison.
Lovely name.
I've enjoyed your meet. Foony, sad, poignant, moving. by Philip McCrack. I'm doubting that is your real name, Philip. Five stars. Great podcast. A lovely pair of cunts. But you've, what, two U's? It's got two stars there.
Lovely pair of counts.
Podcast, all the better for having the Alice Cooper songs removed. Whoa. Well, do you know what's funny, Phil McCrack? Not you. So that's it, really. I think what lovely fan mail we've had this week and some wonderful suggestions. Can you look up Falcon Crest? I'm going to play a song now and then get our guest talk to you in a little bit. What is it, George Harrison?
Yeah.
Why is it so quiet?
Sport. Radio. Oh.
Right, okay, cool, I've done it now. So so we're joined in the studio now by a friend of the show, former fan clubber. He's already been in the fan house, clubhouse once.
Love the show, never heard it.
He's here again.
Never heard it, but love it.
You heard it once, sort of, yeah, when you were in it.
No, I didn't hear that, though. I was part of it.
Still not introduced you yet, mate. It's weird. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't do that on your show.
I don't. I would never have a show.
If you'd ever have me on, mate. Mark. Smudger Smith.
Yeah. Hello, Mark Smith.
Hello, fine. Hello, Smudgematic.
Okay.
He's the Smudgematic Smudge Machine. Smitho, Smudge.
Before you knew me, you knew that Smith's got called Smudge as a nickname.
Have you
not heard that?
No, never.
Neither one of you have heard that?
No.
That's like an old thing.
No. What is it? Is it kind of public schooly?
I don't think so. I think it's more either military, or I know also that a smudge used to be a photographer, a smudger. Something to do with that. I don't know.
Are you a photographer?
No, but I am a smudge.
Well, but meaning that you're a photographer?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Got to the bottom
the
of that one.
Complete.
Never heard that before. Yeah. Smudges, well, look smudges, it up, I promise
you. Yeah, okay. It's like an old thing. It's someone, Flange Crammer. Do you know? Remember Flange Crammer? Neil Dagley.
Yeah.
He started. Neil Dagley, comedian.
I
don't know if he's still going, but he's a good egg still.
Oh, he's a lovely man.
Yeah, yeah. And he started calling it me. And I'd heard it before, but it sort of stuck this time, and then, So, thanks for having me.
If you're listening, Neil, hello.
He's not.
I've got an actual... he might be. We have all sorts of people listening.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I heard your fan mail, lots of fan mail.
Mainly cunts.
Oh, of course, you can swear on this, can't you?
Yeah, of course.
Fuck shit, cunt piss.
Fubar.
Good stuff.
Fubar, fucks up beyond all recognition radio. Mark, you must answer me this.
Go on.
Who provides the voice of Master Tigress in Kung Fu Panda 3?
I don't know.
Is it A, Julia Roberts, B, Sandra Bullock, C, Amy Adams, or D, Angelina Jolie?
Bullock. Feels like a Bullock move. Okay, it's not Bullock then.
Empress Tigress.
Do you know this, Nat?
I don't know it, but I'd have a guess.
Master Tigress.
I reckon it'd be Jolie.
Of course it is. It's Angelina Jolie.
Right. Do you want me to leave?
Well, you failed the first question.
I wasn't told I'd be getting quizzed. Okay. You got another one for me? Another question?
No, that's your one and out.
Okay. One and done.
You blew it! So let's
kiss. I think technically you're our first solo returning guest.
Oh, yeah.
We had Taylor Glenn on twice.
What an honour.
But she was part of Drunk Women.
Yeah, but
let's... But you in your own right, what if the only person who's come.
What are you here to promote, Mark?
Nothing. Oh, nothing to promote.
Okay.
I was supposed to have two things to promote, and they've both, this week, gone down the Swanee. So thanks for having me.
Oh, really? What's happened?
We'll talk about my career failings on radio.
Oh, God.
We'll do it after the show.
I ended up doing that last week.
You did, yeah.
Did you?
I didn't want to. And then it got...
No, actually, I didn't think it was going that way. And I thought it was...
And then I had, like, an existential moment, and then Ingrid Oliver battered it out of me, and then it was just like...
To be fair, you just looked defeated when it looked like you were... It looked like you wanted someone to say... What's wrong, Nick? What's happened?
I didn't want any. I just didn't. I was just.
You went too quiet.
I just had a moment to myself and it got pounced on.
Nothing to promote. Although, actually, you know what? What I will promote is Can I promote another podcast?
Yeah.
I do a podcast called The Whistleblowers with a guy called Martin Gritton, ex professional footballer. It's about football. It's very
What's
good.
What's his name?
Martin Gritton. You might have heard of him.
No, but was he a big footballer? What would he be like if you said to people, I do a podcast with Martin Gritton? Most people would be like, fuck it, no, Martin Gritton. No?
No, people would be like, who did he play for? Who is this man?
And who did he play for?
But then you'd Google it and see, well, the number of teams, Macclesfield, Torquay, lower league stuff. But he's an excellent man, and he's a lot of fun to listen to. So listen to that if you care about football at all. It's a bit of fun. It is reasonably well informed. It's just a good...
So you are a fan of sport, aren't you?
I am a fan of sport.
Sounds quite dry.
Right.
But, you know, by all means, once you've listened to your weekly dose of Fan Club, give it a listen.
Yes.
I like to listen to all sorts of stuff when I go to bed at night. Gets me to sleep. So,
what are you listening to at the minute?
What am I listening to at the minute? I'm listening to the rain sound effects.
I do that a lot.
As used from the movie Jurassic Park.
Okay, I don't do that one.
It's a YouTube video, and it's 4 hours of rain music, rain sound effects from Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
And it makes you feel like you're on Jurassic Park.
I don't don't know, it's scary, though, isn't it?
No, on Jurassic amazing. Park or in Jurassic Park?
On the island. On Isla Nubra.
Yeah.
Isla Nubra.
In
Jurassic Park.
Park.
You're right. We were both almost right, but yeah you're right for correcting me here.
Please, now, sing with the theme tunes. There's three different sort of recurring theme tunes in Jurassic Park. I want you to sing them to me.
Okay. There's na na na. Na na na. Na 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 na.
Okay, next one.
That's
just volume. You just changed the volume. No.
Well, that's the only one I'd know.
That's just skipping ahead. That's skipping ahead in the
tune.
And then what's
the
other one?
Right.
There
is you're one more. What's the other right.
one? Oh, you don't know the other
I do.
One.
I'll tell the two.
It's Bannon! 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 Dun-dun! Bannon! That's the bit when they're running through the jungle.
What's this from?
Predator?
Yeah. Bang. Good. All right. Okay. I'm going to go now because I'm not going to...
What's this?
Okay.
Ding, 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 ding.
Eyes wide shut.
It's Commander.
Oh.
What's the third Jurassic Park one?
I don't know, you brought it up.
I think they're both of them. Yeah, I think you've done them.
I'll think of it. Before the end of the show, I'll think of it.
I doubt you will.
Okay.
I very much doubt that. I mean, I'd love to see you do it, but I think that,
how long
that
have
is,
we got?
That is Dino Doo Doo.
That's a big pile of shit.
That's a big pile of shit. That's a big pile of shit.
Who's that?
James Stewart on Jurassic Park.
Yeah, doing Dr. Ian Malcolm's role.
That's one of their prequels.
That's the chaos theory in motion.
That's nice to have seen it.
I'd like to have seen it. I mean, imagine if you cast Jurassic Park in the 1930s,
yeah.
Who would you put in it? I'd put James Stewart as Ian Malcolm. I'd put...
Richard Attenborough's still in it.
Catherine Hepburn.
He's a little boy.
I'd put Catherine Hepburn as Laura Dern.
Oh, yeah.
She'd be good. And Humphrey Bogart as fucking Dr. Grant.
And it's all Ray Harryhausen dinosaurs. Mm.
It would probably be his predecessor that did King Kong.
Yeah, sorry, what stupid idiot I am.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to chip in, mate, get it accurate. I can't remember his name.
Is he called someone O'Brien, isn't he? Wallace O'Brien?
Richard O'Brien, I think.
Richard O'Brien.
From the Crystal
Maze. When he was much older and balder, he went on to play harmonica in the Crystal Maze. And who would have directed it? It would probably be Howard Hawks.
This is for the kids, isn't
it? Do you know what? No, but this is the kind of thing people do on the internet and it always bothers me. There was one the other day, like, who would have been cast in The Avengers in the 90s? And you look at it and you go, well, they wouldn't. So exactly, they wouldn't.
I'll tell you who would have been cast as The Avengers in the 90s.
Go on.
David Hasselhoff would have been Nick Fury.
Yeah, that's what would have happened.
And Roger Corman would have produced it.
Yeah.
I can't remember any of the other people that played. Bill Bixby would have been...
The Hulk, probably.
The Hulk.
Probably, that's who they would have got in the 90s. Like they did.
Like they actually did, you fucking pricks.
Exactly. But thank you, Nick.
Life finds a way.
I'm trying to think of the third song,
James Stewart there in Jurassic Park. That's made in 1941.
Well, it's just called... Dinosaur Park.
It's just called A Few Years Ago Park.
Recent Park.
It's just called The Park. Nothing really disastrous happens. It was fucking hell. They had bigger fish to fry. It was World War II. You want horrors? Just
open the window, mate.
Open the window. It's the fucking Blitz going on out there.
60,000 dead. And that was just in one day of the Somme.
Okay.
So I think
get your priorities little, right. Put that in perspective, doesn't it?
Put your little trip to an amusement park in fucking check, doesn't it?
Thank you.
Fucking hell. Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Scottish.
Yeah.
Who was that?
My name is Richard Attenborough.
He's only Scottish for the first scene.
He goes, it's a bit when he's like going, so, we started off a little flea circus. And on that flea circus were a few of our little fleas, and people believe that they could see them with their bare eyes. That scene is so chopped up. It's fucking hell. They started it very early, and by about 11-ish, he was really like, come on, Stephen.
What do you think,
come on, Stephen, let's rattle through it.
David Attenborough. Naturalist would make of Jurassic Park. Would he be against his brother or all for him?
This is all bollocks.
Well, weirdly, David Attenborough did a thing set in the Natural History Museum, and it was like all the dinosaurs.
Why did you say that twice?
Because I said National History Museum, but I meant Natural History Museum. He did a thing, and all of the dinosaurs come to life. He's staying
sellout.
Basically, they're locking up. The Natural History Museum.
It's like David Museum.
Yeah, and David Attenborough hides behind like a
dinosaur's cock.
No, more like a prehistoric man. And then he like steps out from behind him. And then
he dresses up as a prehistoric man.
He doesn't do any dressing up. But then, and then they add in all these CGI dinosaurs and he has to interact with them. And it's kind of like you go, this is like, you've just made one big fuck you to your brother. Right? This is how you really do it, mate.
I saw Night at the Museum 2 at the cinema.
Did you see Night at the Museum 1?
No, and I walked out the second one. Didn't know what was going on, couldn't make head nor tail of it.
Too hard, isn't it?
Well, it picks right up after the last one, so you're forgiven for being confused.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Why have you brought me here? Why have you brought me here? What?
Ramesh dropped out. Right.
But why am I here? What? I'm not needed.
You're contributing.
We wouldn't be talking about Jurassic Park if it weren't for you.
Are we even going out?
That's damn right.
Is this even going out?
The only person that's making any money out of this is a blood-sucking liar. No offence. Faster, must go faster. That's James Stewart in the back of, I don't know, a push bike. Whatever they had back then.
Oh, I've nearly got it. I've nearly got the third song.
Is it radio? So, speaking of Jurassic Park, one of the things that you're a big fan of is theme parks in general, but Disneyland.
Well, no. The truth is, I came back from Disneyland last week, and then when the producer asked me what I was into, that's the first thing I could remember.
But you're into it.
I was for two weeks. I was very much.
You're at Disneyland for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
No. Did you stay at Disneyland?
Fucking knackered.
Did you stay at Disneyland?
Stayed at a hotel at Universal. Called the Portofino. Bay Hotel.
I've never stayed at a Universal hotel. Are they nice?
Yeah, real nice, boy.
Are they?
Yeah, really nice.
What did you have for breakfast?
This morning.
No.
Right.
On holiday.
Come on,
varied.
Mark,
day
I'm just going
to
tell you, this has been a really difficult one.
Right.
Me and Nat have had not a lot to talk about.
Okay.
And we brought you on to save the day.
You brought me on because Ramesh brought
actually,
it out.
You're actually, yeah, to save the day, mate.
I'm not saving
this
the day.
This is your chance to step up here. Right?
I'm not going
to
be.
This is your chance
already
to step up.
Some stuff about
I'm not on the B, I won't be on the B team.
When we're talking about what you had for breakfast, we clearly don't mean today. We're talking about when you're in the hotel at Universal.
Well, I'm going to answer
Let's
both.
Let's not make it any harder than it has to be.
This morning. Nothing. Universal Studios for
Have
2 weeks.
Eaten yet?
No.
It's the most important meal of the day.
Mm. You've had a water, is that it?
Yeah, a bit of water.
Oh. Have you been offered a tea?
Yeah.
Do what I want.
This isn't good radio.
Yeah, it is. Is it better than your podcast? With Martin Grennan.
I don't think I can compare them.
Hang on a minute.
Is his name Martin Grennan?
No.
What's he called?
Paul Grennan. You know what? I don't want your shitty little listeners listening to my show anyway.
Thank you.
Martin.
What I had, Matt, every day changed, varied.
You do,
day
hang on.
Day.
So you do your football show with Martin Besserman?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tune in.
Yes, I do.
I'm a big fan.
Big fan. So tell us, Mark.
Yeah.
What did you have for breakfast?
What did you have for breakfast?
This morning.
Oh, there he is.
There he is. Martin Grennan.
Yeah, good. He's good looking, isn't he? Looking at
Shall
a picture of Martin Gritton here on the.
I think you look good looking in that photo.
Oh, thank you in that photo. Thanks,
like,
man.
But you look.
Well, you being too
this,
in
no,
2D.
This isn't,
you being
radio.
In 2D actually benefits you, I think.
Yeah.
On this photo that we've got here. On this screen.
Oh, so that's why I'm here for.
Have you done the podcast for a long time,
mate? We asked you what you had for breakfast, and you would not respond.
And I will never answer that. Yeah. I will never
it's
answer
like
that.
News night.
What was it? Was it the buffet?
I'm not telling you. I would never tell
was
you that.
Was it the
now.
Buffet?
It's gone too far. I would never tell you.
Was it the buffet?
Crispy bacon.
Did you have watermelon?
Yes.
Was it Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, mate. I'm not a humpty little bitch. I'm at Florida, wasn't it?
Yeah. Los Angeles.
I'm not sodding off to LA.
Los Angeles is very like your disappointing.
Accent. Pardon me?
They like your accent there.
Who, the people in Disneyland?
The people who are serving you breakfast.
I will never tell you what, how to where it was. So you never
am I right in this statement? If Universal Studios Florida is a foot, then Universal Studios Los Angeles is a toenail.
You're not wrong.
It's fucking ridiculous, the difference. But is it radio?
I feel like I'm having a stroke.
Yeah. All you had to say was bacon, mate.
Didn't have bacon. Wouldn't lie to you.
All you had to say was waffles and chicken.
Ask me no questions.
Fried chicken and waffles.
Ask me no questions. I'll tell you no lies.
Well, you're a fucking terrible talk show guest.
This is my second time on. You know who I am.
We did all of the things. We did all of the things the first time. I begged you not to book him.
I went to Florida in 1990.
Sorry, you've not asked me about a single ride yet.
Well, we'd asked you one thing. You clammed up. When I went there in 1985, they were filming Thunder in Paradise there with Hulk Hogan.
All the big ones there then.
I wrote a story called Thunder in Paradise, and then I was just like, oh, fuck. Well, I've got to change the name now because the Hulk just brought out a book, a film.
Was that you were like 13?
I was 12 and I'd written this. It's a sci-fi epic called Thunder in Paradise. It was pretty good.
Tell us about that.
It was set in the future. Marijuana cigarettes were legal, and you could buy them. out of vending machines, right? They sold them in packs of 20, but because they were triangular, like spliffs, they would stack them alternately, top to bottom. Mm. Right?
Well, Grace, sir.
It was just a detail.
It's just the main hook of the film.
This is just a detail in the future, right?
Yeah. But they didn't probably bring it up, would they? Because then it's normal.
Yeah,
they wouldn't be like.
And Hulk Hogan definitely doesn't smile.
Because he was definitely... It was written from a first-person perspective. Hulk Hogan, wasn't it? It was written from a first-person perspective, and he was very much narrating it to a person of today.
What percentage of the film was...
It wasn't a film, it was a story.
What percentage of the story was explaining the formation of the marijuana cigarettes in the pack?
He goes, yeah, this guy has to get himself a packet of marijuana cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. How are they stacked?
They're stacked. No, I'll tell you.
It was written for triangular. It was written for a school project. So basically, what I would say is that was a detail that I kept to myself for my vault. So very much like when we got into the second trilogy, the prequel trilogy, I could say, oh, I've had it all mapped out all along.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but
is that all you had?
It was it was really good. It was basically the sky. Basically, Earth had been abandoned by all the rich people, and they'd all moved to Mars, and then all the poor people had to remain on Earth. And
that's political.
All of the workers had to. And my main character was a guy called Jake, Jake Thunder, and he was a mechanic.
Was a place called Paradise?
No. He was a mechanic.
But it was Paradise.
So Thunder in Paradise.
It's weird, isn't it, that I'm the one that knows the story, and you two have nothing.
But we also don't want to hear the story anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, tune in next week for the next installment of Thunder in Paradise by
Nick. If you've got them,
when
I think you should read it out.
When I was 11, I went to Universal and we went on the Jaws ride, and then we went back to go on the Jaws ride, and it turned out they'd only opened it for one day to test it out.
Oh, what?
And we were there for 2 weeks, and we went twice in 2 weeks, and the second time we went, Jaws ride was not on.
Well, suck my dick.
No, we went to a preview. We were one of the first people to ever go on the Jaws ride. It was absolutely incredible.
It's not there at all anymore.
No, they've concreted it over and made it into Harry Potter's toilet.
That's not what they call it, though, I don't think.
Harry Pooper's.
Didn't they say it?
Harry Pooper.
J.K. Rowling did a thing recently where she said that...
Everyone's LGBT.
No, she said Harry Potter, they all have shits, but they magic them away. There's no toilets in Hogwarts. And it was obviously a joke, but people like went mad about it.
Well, there are toilets in Hogwarts because of the toilet troll in the first Harry Potter movie.
I haven't seen it.
What's a toilet troll?
There's a troll. There's a huge troll in the toilets, and he smashes up all the toilets, and they're all having dinner, and someone goes, there's a troll in the toilets, and they have to go.
That's probably why there aren't any now.
Also, what's her name?
Got smashed up.
The ghost one that's always crying. Is it her name Myrtle? She's always crying, and she's always in the toilets crying. So it's weird that J.K. Rowling would say that there's no toilets in Harry Potter, when in actual fact there are obviously clearly toilets in Harry Potter.
J.K. Rowling, like her toilets, is full of shit. That's what I would say.
Oh.
bloody hell. Well, they're not, because they magic them away, like JK says.
This is one crucial thing.
I think
thing,
JK though. Did really well after bouncing back from Jamiroquai and writing all them Harry Potter movies.
I don't know anything about Harry Potter. I've never seen it. And all the new stuff.
All you need to
Universal.
Know going in is there will be toilets. Don't worry about that.
Yeah,
well, they're long films and you'll need them.
Yeah, but like the best bits of the park now are all Harry Potter. That's the most. And I don't know what was going on. Couldn't, yeah. Didn't know.
But they're
enjoyed
the best
it
bits.
Still. I enjoyed it.
You could get something out of it.
Because you know when you're a kid and you're queuing up for a ride there. Mm. And it seems
the
like
queue is as good as the ride.
The queue's great because it's full of all these details and stuff. And you go on the old rides now and you realise actually these. First of all, I'm whizzing through them because no fucker's queuing up for them anymore. But secondly, the detail has all just gone to shit. But now the Harry Potter ones, now they're all updated and stuff. It's like you're a kid again. It's always a sense of wonder. Brilliant, really great.
So what are the big rides now? Harry Potter?
Harry Potter, Transformers.
Okay.
I went on a Transformers ride.
Simpsons Land's very good. I'd not.
Is
I'd
it
not
a land
that.
Now? Because yeah. They obviously re-skinned the Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, yeah.
And is there more than that
there's
now?
More than, there's only one ride, but there's like, you can go to Moe's Tavern and you
oh,
can
oh, that's
that
great.
Stuff.
Just in time for the series being at its best.
Yeah, that's right. I've not...
I mean, the Simpsons hasn't been good since 1997.
Yeah,
right?
Series like 5 or 6 was good, and now it's on series 28, and it's just been horse shit since.
I haven't seen them in years, but like everyone says that, I can't imagine they're that bad, are they?
Why don't you pull your head out of your ass then?
Did you watch the Did you watch the Simpsons Family Guy crossover?
No, I don't.
I would never watch
it. It was so upsetting.
What happened?
Well, there were like Bart Simpson and Bart Simpson was doing phone pranks. And then, is it what's the baby called? Stewie?
Mo.
I think there was basically Bart Simpson was on screen during a rape joke. And
what?
It was like, what? Oh, no.
Did they do it?
It was just like...
Did they do it in...
Why, it was basically like the Simpsons, I think in the olden days, it was like, oh, the Family Guy's ripping off the Simpsons a little bit. And then it got to the point where it was just like, Family Guy is bigger than The Simpsons, and then it got to the, like, The Simpsons were like, can we be in a crossover with you? And Family Guy were like, yeah, all right, we'll let you. And then they bullied The Simpsons on screen, and The Simpsons were just happy to be there, because it's like, oh, this is like being at our best again, isn't it? And it was just horrible.
This is how it feels being on the show.
What are you fucking talking about? I'm just going to switch your microphone off if we have any more of that dirt talk.
can we get Martin Grennan on?
Call him.
Give him Martin Grennan a
so
call.
Did you go to Disney?
Went to Disney.
So,
by the way, I'm doing all this with a 5-month-old child, my own child.
Ah.
And it's a very different experience. Sure. It's fucking knackering.
Did you go on the? Could you go on the ride then?
A few
you
rides.
Swap rides.
And I was
swap kids. Swap the kid over.
Yeah. Well, I would have.
Imagine he's too small to go on some of them.
Yeah, almost all of them.
Oh, no.
Two nephews were there with me as well.
Oh, that's nice.
And my sister and brother-in-law. So it was fucking hard work.
Mm.
But it was great. It was really great.
Did you go on the Guardians of the Galaxy ride?
Where was that?
Well, I don't know if it's open yet. So
right,
they had them. Well, because it used to be Tower of Terror.
Oh, that's still there. Went on that.
Tower of Terror's still there.
That's my favourite ride in the world ever.
It's the best.
Yeah, Hollywood Studios.
That's got the absolute best queuing.
Yeah, definitely.
Like it's spooky all the way.
So describe what it is.
So it's Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, and basically you go to a 1920s Art Deco hotel, and you queue all the way through the grounds of the hotel, and then half of the hotel is missing, and it's all like it's been zapped into the Twilight Zone. As you're queuing up, you can see, and it's kind of like got all this atmospheric music. All of the.
And then you have a video of Rod Serling come on.
Yeah,
and
but
the,
before
the
that, there are all of these kind of cast members or attendants.
Yeah.
And they're all dressed up as like 1920s bellhops.
Yeah.
And then you get into the lobby of the hotel. It's all basically this beautiful 1920s hotel lobby that's gone to shit, and it's covered in cobwebs, and it's all sort of like dilapidated, and there's like ivy growing through it. And then you get up, and then you queue up, and you go through, and you go into a lift, which is basically a drawing room when you go in there. And then Rod Serling comes out, and they've sort of CGI'd Rod Serling, and he introduces you to an episode of The Twilight Zone.
That you are now in,
and then you get on a lift, and then and you go up, and you see some ghosts of the past. Then you get zapped by lightning, and then you enter the Twilight Zone, and you go on this drop, and you plummet Right. I don't know how
so
far
it's just
you
a
go.
Vertical drop. But now, what's good about it is it's all
60,
random.
It's 60 foot, and then you go, and then you sit right back up again, and then you come into daylight where you can basically see over the entire park. So you're like 100 foot in the air, and then you drop all the way back down again. And yeah, it's just
random. It's random now. So if you did it twice in a row, it'd be different sort of drops and stuff.
Oh,
and
really?
Up and down, whatever.
It's
great.
Incredible. It's just incredible.
It's a great
but is that disappearing then? They're replacing
repackaging it for Guardians of the Galaxy, and you just think,
but new Twilight Zone's out, so you'd have thought they've got some cachet with that.
Yes. Well, maybe they won't do it then. No, I think it depends who has the rights to Twilight Zone now, I suppose.
Yeah.
But
that's still great. That has stood up.
But
so
I just
well.
Think because it was made at a time when the Twilight Zone wasn't on TV.
Yeah,
It's already kind of like. It doesn't matter that it's not relevant. I can understand the Earthquake ride based on the 1978 Charlton Heston movie Earthquake. I can understand them repackaging that.
Yeah.
But I can't understand when you've got something it's beautiful is what it is.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely incredible experience. It reminds me of the vampire ride at Chessington when they first opened that. The whole queuing for that was incredible.
Yeah.
When you get into the main bit and there's an organ player, it's this animatronic organ player, and it's just absolutely terrifying.
Are you a theme parks guy, Matt?
Yeah, when I get a chance. But I'm not. I don't make a lot of effort. When I go there, I love it.
Yeah.
But I don't make
you don't
a
think
lot
about
of
it afterwards.
I don't think about it a lot.
That's the key, isn't it? I remember you telling me, Nick, how much you enjoyed Disney last time.
That's
why I went on that ride you told me to go on, Rocket, and I nearly died afterwards.
Rip Roaring Rocket.
I think it's just called Rocket now.
That was at Universal, though.
Yes. But still, when I say Disneyland, I mean just the whole entire United States of America.
When you say Disneyland, you mean Thorpe Park?
Yeah, that's where I've been. What are you talking about?
Yeah, right. But what I will say is you go to Disneyland. You go to Disney World, you go to all the Disney Worlds, and you go to all the Universals, and if you go to Los Angeles and you go to Six Flags, a lot of the best rides. Six Flags is by far, hands down, the best roller coaster park theme park I've ever been to. It's like aged slightly older, so you have it's basically every ride's a roller coaster, whereas there's a mix. You get the teacup ride and a maze and stuff like that, Disney, and the Dumbo ride and stuff. But what I would say about the best rides at Universal and Disneyland, if you want to just go there for rides, they have all of those rides exactly the same at Alton Towers.
Mm.
So they've got the Aerosmith ride, which is incredible, and all of the Aerosmith stuff is really fun. But and you get on a like this roller coaster which shaped like a limousine.
In Alton Towers, it's just called the Slade Ride.
In Alton Towers, it's called the Meg, and they've got the same. It's very funny, but I'm being serious now.
Deadly serious.
In Alton Towers, they've got the same cars which are shaped like limousine cars, an indoor ride. It's a dark ride. In the Aerosmith ride is a dark ride, which means it's an inside ride. But in Alton Towers, it's outside. But that's the only difference. So you could do it all. You could do all of the best rides in all of the parks in Florida.
Yeah.
In Alton Towers.
That's like something my dad would have said. Oh, it's better than Disneyland.
I was surprised with how good Alton Towers was last time I went. I took my mate on a stag do in 2012.
Just the two of you?
It was on the way to the stag do, and we stopped off and went.
All right.
Yeah. Well, it was open to everyone.
I've not been for a long time. Tell you what about Disney, though.
Well, I haven't been since 2012.
Ones. Well, that's quite a long time.
Last time I went to Disneyland was 2016, was it? And I went with my girlfriend at the time, and we went in September, and all of the roller coasters were shut. Every time you wanted an alcoholic drink, you had to buy 6 chicken nuggets. And we argued for the entire weekend, and our relationship didn't last much longer than that.
Cool. Well, congratulations to all of us, I suppose. What I like about Disney and Universal is you're getting fleeced, right? I bought 7 hot dogs at $130.
Holy moly!
Yeah, and
7 hot dogs, $130.
Yeah, and a couple of packs of
what is that each?
And a couple of drinks, but not a drink for everybody.
What's that? Can we do the math there? What is that each?
There's no way of finding out.
7 hot dogs for $130.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell. And what did you do? Did you eat them all in one go?
Is that $20
or did you save
each?
Some for later?
It's a lot.
$20 hot dogs.
$20 hot dogs.
Hey, do you want onions on it, bud?
That's $18.57 each.
Yeah, but it's also, I did also say a couple of drinks and a couple of. So, don't worry about that. The point is, you know you're getting fleeced, but they do it so well. They do the whole thing so well that it's hard to feel cynical, I think. I find something quite nice about watching grown men in Harry Potter capes walking
around.
No,
do you know what? I think that. I think, like, I went when I was 14. I think it's the worst age to have gone to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Because everything is just like, oh, God. Yeah, and everyone, you just get embarrassed by people dressed as Goofy. I'd love to see someone walking around dressed as Goofy now.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, when you're about 14, 15, and you're going around Disneyland, you're basically just looking for a place where you can have a wank.
Sorry?
Yeah, you're at that age when...
Sorry?
What?
Say it again.
I just mean, maybe, sorry, if it's in America, you're probably looking for a place to jack off.
Oh, sorry, yeah, jack off. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, absolutely.
You've been in, America too long, friend. You know what I mean? So it's lost on you. But but when you're a little bit older, a little bit younger, you haven't got your sexual urges knocking at your door every 5 minutes. Then you can probably enjoy the ride.
Can you stop twizzling your moustache when looking into my eyes when you say that?
I will. Eventually.
Are you a Disney film fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the idea, and I find it quite cozy, and I'm into it. I'm into the world of Disney.
I think that's it.
There was what they have is these baby changing centres where if you've got a baby or whatever, you need to go sort it out.
I mean, I don't think that's a ride.
No. It's a roller coaster, mate, when it's pissing all over you.
You might get wet.
You can get nappies and all that. It's all sorted out. It's very well done. But they have like a little room where you can go and feed them and stuff, and it's constantly showing the same film for a week. And you can see the person who works there has got his fucking bloodshot eyes.
What film is it?
It was Little Mermaid when we were there. So they were trying to shift stock. So the Little Mermaid to sell, $45.
What?
You're not going to sell that, pal.
The DVD?
The Blu-ray, actually, pal. Log on.
The Blu-ray?
Yeah.
The Blu-ray was $45.
$45, yeah. Special edition.
You don't want to... Yeah, but the thing is, you do get trapped into buying it there.
$45? I could get...
That's two hot dogs.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But the thing is, plus drinks. But the thing about... when you're there, I feel like every ride means that you end up exiting into the gift shop. And that you buy... Do you know what I mean? It's just... I tell you what, you go to Disney in September when the Indiana Jones ride is closed down, Space Mountain is closed down, all of the adult rides closed down, and you've spent 200 euros to get in there to go on the teacup ride, the Alice in Wonderland maze, and Mr. Toad's Wild Adventure, right? You're angry, right? Because they didn't tell you that up front, right?
Yeah.
And so you're there, and every ride exits into a gift shop, and you're just there getting angrier and angrier, and you go, I just want a fucking beer. Mm. That'll be, you're not allowed a beer without buying six
Nine
nuggets.
Euros and six nuggets, please.
And so so it's just like, that's when, it's a big family
400
thing.
Nuggets, please.
This was in Paris, I'm assuming.
This is
about.
Where I went in Paris, yeah. Fucking hell, I'm not going to go to Florida for an argument.
With euros.
It was Disney dollars. No one's buying Disney dollars, mate. Come on, grow out of it. Give up the ghost. when you're... It's a once... Not necessarily a once in a lifetime, but maybe a two or three time in a lifetime thing, isn't it? So when you're there, you kind of allow it and go...
You just go, right, I'll spend it.
This is
fine.
How much the hot dogs are. It's one day that I'm doing this.
Because can you imagine taking a packed lunch there? No, I'm not having that.
Oh, fucking hell. In Euro Disney, it'd be a baguette with some bloody ham and some cheese
some
slices.
Frog's legs.
Emmental cheese.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you go, fucking, I can
Sounds
imagine
delicious.
That.
Brexit means Brexit, I agree.
Absolutely. Don't put words into my mouth. I didn't say it like that. No. But that's what it is.
Mm.
I'm interested in what the... Because I met someone that had just got back from Disneyland Tokyo.
Oh, right. Nice.
And I think that while you're in Disneyland Paris, it is very Disney, but also you are in Paris, right? They do sell... the snacks that they sell nuggets and chips and burgers and stuff, but they also do kind of like... baguettes
French food
with ham and cheese in it and stuff, right? That's what some of the stuff they sell. And I was just thinking, what when you're in Tokyo Disneyland, is it are you still obviously in Tokyo, or has it been so Disneyfied?
I think it must have a sort of half and half like that. It must be, you can get a Mickey Mouse ice cream, but you can also have regular
sushi.
Japanese food. Must be you can't just drop like all your culture at the door when you go in.
Well,
like,
sort of. I don't know. Did you? It wouldn't surprise me if it was.
Did you go to Epcot?
Yeah.
Oh fucking!
We had 2 weeks, mate. We did everything.
Did you go for a pint in the British pub in Epcot?
We did. We did. We had to sit outside, so it wasn't a proper pub experience.
Oh right. Oh, I mean, we were so tired. I went with an ex. And we were
this is another ex.
This is a different ex. But this was.
Well, there's a common theme here. This was Florida. Don't take them to fucking
this
Disneyland.
Was Florida. When we went to Florida, we walked around Epcot all day, and we were so fucking tired by the time we just went to the pub in, and it's not a real pub, it's a Disney pub, but it's a Disney version of a British pub, but there's a red phone box outside, and I loved it. Sat down, we had a pint, we sat down next to this, it was rammed, and we sat down to this older couple, and we were just like, can we sit here? And they were like, yeah, of course, buddy. And we started talking to them. He was an astronaut. and we talked to this astronaut. We wrote. And
I could never have guessed that's where the story was going.
We kept in contact with them a little bit. They sent us a bunch of NASA stuff, like top secret files.
He's been fired.
They sent us some sort of like patches and stuff like that. And
sell that to the Russians.
It was great. It was just.
Let's see who gets into space first.
But we were in the middle of this theme park, and the best thing that happened in the day was we sat down in a British pub with a pint and.
Spoke to a liar.
Talked for an hour to this astronaut and his wife. And
well, obviously, so Epcot. Have you been to Epcot now?
Yeah, yeah.
So, for those that don't know, it's got that. It's like got the world, and you can walk around this massive lake, and each part of the world is represented. So, like Japan, and you got like all this
stuff.
But
it's like the most stereotyped.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
But I was thinking this genuinely would be a great place for a stag do. Get the boys. Do a lap of the world a couple of times. Then I was thinking, well, how long would...
If there was a pub in every town...
How long would a stag do last before getting kicked out by Disney police?
You're not allowed stag and hen do's at centre parks.
We went to Chessington when I was at school, and one of the guys got kicked out because he started swimming between the boats on Professor Burp's Bubble Works. He got kicked out and then did a shit on the car in the car park.
Oh, but was it his own car?
No.
Whose car was it?
Don't know, stranger.
Oh, what a disaster for that poor soul.
Well, he's just attacking another guest there.
Yeah.
That's not anti-establishment.
Take that.
That's not anti-establishment, that's antisocial.
Oh, it absolutely was antisocial.
What was his name, this boy?
I'm trying to remember his name. I can picture him.
Well, while you're trying to remember his name, we'll play a song.
on FUBAR Radio.
I haven't shit myself since I was at least, not since I've been 30. We're back in the studio here with Mark Smith. just got a real... Got to ask you a question here, Mark.
Go on, mate.
It's really... it's been bugging me for a little while now, and I think you're the guy that... You know, I should probably get it sorted with you. Mm-hmm. Who played the role of Thor in the 2015 movie Avengers Age of Ultron?
Thor is... is it one of the Hemsworths? Is it?
Yeah.
One of the Hemsworths.
Is it A?
Oh, right.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Is it B, Mark
Hemsworth?
Buffalo.
great stuff. Mark Buffalo is Ruffalo, isn't it?
Mark Buffalo.
He's one of our characters.
One of our characters. Mark. That's right. It's Mark the Buffalo Ruffalo. I'm Hannibal the Cannibal Lecter.
Hello, Buffalo.
Can I smell Buffalo?
I ate his wings.
I ate his wings with a cold hot sauce.
What's the third option, mate? I've got to go in a minute.
So, Liam Hemsworth or Chris Fruitcake, Confessions of a Fruitcake Evans.
Oh. Do you know what I dislike about Chris those Evans multiple is... choice? Did it give you Chris and Liam Hemsworth as choices? That's bullshit, because you know it must be one of those two. Because
you've
the other two
Hemsworth.
Yes, yes.
So you're basically, it's basically 50-50 now.
It's 50-50'd it.
Yeah. Well, right. Chris Evans is Captain America, isn't he? Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Chris, I think Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. I mean, we've already established it was too easy because Chris Evans was out of the mix anyway. So you were actually minus a point there.
Sorry.
But so you went on Rick Rolling Rocket, and that was the song that you played, Sharp Dressed Man by ZZ Top.
Yeah.
So the Rip Roaring Rocket, just explain what it is.
Well, I think it's just called Rocket now, Grandad, but it's just a roller coaster. It's the most sort of traditional roller coaster you can have. And at the start of it, they're loading up. Oh, yeah, they had a height restriction, but you couldn't be over a certain height.
So if you're too tall, you can go
in. Yeah. If you're too tall, get out of here.
Actually, that makes perfect sense. If you've got a long body like me, then it would actually... it makes a lot of sense to do that.
A long dancer's frame.
Well, you know...
Well, the roller coaster goes straight up, like literally goes vertically up. Takes it, and as you're going up, you can choose on the little jukebox you've got. Who's telling the story, mate?
Because you're saying the roller coaster goes up, and what it does is it cranks you up, doesn't it? You're going... And then it fires you.
No, it just drops you. It doesn't fire you. It just drops you.
Yeah, so you don't get shot up, do you?
No.
Right, so you get to the...
I mean, you go up is enough, isn't it?
It sort of cracked... No, but you said the roller coaster...
You go up vertically.
You're basically going up vertically, and in the time that it takes you to go up, you have to choose a song.
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, you know the rest.
If you don't choose a song, what happens?
Well, I
didn't pick one for you.
What did you have for breakfast?
I wanted you to explain... I had vegan soup. I wanted you... to explain what it was, but then I realised that as you were explaining, you were explaining it wrong.
I was explaining it beautifully.
I've been on the ride, mate.
It doesn't sound like you have.
Well, I have.
It doesn't sound like you have.
It's brilliant.
If you don't choose a song, what happens?
Just the ride stops and everyone dies. What do you want from me?
I think they'd probably just give you a song.
Because I think I'd be worried going...
I didn't choose that song. I wanted to choose the song that Nick had recommended, which was Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue.
Right.
And as I'm going up this bloody thing... I'm pressing the thing. It's not working. And then they give me a default song, which is ZZ Top, which I also
do
like
it.
So you
do know you get a default song?
Pardon?
So you do know you got a default song. That's
well, I get a default song within the genre that I picked. I got past that scene.
Right. We asked you the question.
Yeah.
You know, we've only got an hour with you. And you know, you
is
keep,
that all it's been?
You keep defaulting your answers. So it's sort of like...
I will never tell you what I had for breakfast.
We wanted to know what you had for breakfast, and then we ended up 5 minutes trying to fucking badger that out of you.
Mm.
We wanted to know what happens if you don't pick a thing. You said, I don't know, everyone dies. And then it turns out that you do know, because that's what happens. Mark, you've been an absolutely atrocious guest today.
Right. What am I on next? When's my hat trick?
Well, you're gone next week.
I'm regretting cancelling Ramesh Ranganathan now.
As soon as we knew that you were free, Mark, we bumped him.
Yeah.
12 hours really notice good. I got for this. And you're moaning. I bailed you out of the shit again.
12 hours notice. Fucking hell.
What things do you... What things do you like?
You listen to Five Star Fan Club.
Nick and Nat's Fan Club.
Well, I'm not even on the jingle. Why am I on the jingle? Put me on the jingle.
You're the
end. Got me in there again.
You can come in.
I'm on the jingle.
Come in every week. Shall we do the game?
I don't even think he deserves. You've already. Let's see if you can beat your previous score.
I haven't.
Eight.
Last time you were on here, you got eight.
That's good.
No. Okay. Is it the same game?
Yeah, same game.
What are you doing with your phone? Are you filming?
Reading it.
Oh, right.
filming.
Come
it,
on,
yeah.
Then.
It's going to be a happy slap. This is better or worse. You have to say with the next person is better or worse than the person before, based entirely on my own opinions, starting with Mick Jagger. But it's Steve Martin. Better or worse than Mick Jagger?
Better.
Steve Martin's much better.
He's better, yeah. Mm. Tom Hanks. Is Tom Hanks worse. Better or worse? He is worse.
Worse than... Tom Hanks is worse than Steve Martin.
I'm on the clock, mate. Shut up.
You're not on a clock.
Michelle no Pfeiffer. Clock. Better or worse than Tom Hanks?
Better.
Worse.
I think Michelle Pfeiffer... Tom Hanks is a very high card.
He's a high card. I like Michelle Pfeiffer. I think she is worse.
She go Gwyneth away Paltrow, for a long time.
Worse.
She's worse. Renée Zellweger, better or worse than Gwyneth Paltrow?
Christ.
Hang on. Is Gwyneth Paltrow better or worse than Renée Zellweger? What did you just say?
I said Zellweger is better.
Oh, yeah, she's better, yeah.
I think better.
Clint Eastwood, better or worse than Renée Zellweger?
Much better.
Better. Dustin Hoffman, better or worse than Eastwood?
Oh, better.
Ooh.
Better.
I'm going to go worse.
He is worse.
Well, yeah. Okay, this is an interesting...
Gary Oldman, better or worse than Dustin Hoffman?
Worse.
Better.
Yeah?
Yeah. What? David Bowie, better
Gary
or worse
Oldman
than...
is better than Dustin Hoffman. Yeah. And Clint Eastwood is better than Dustin Hoffman.
This game's
Hoffman.
Fucked.
Yeah.
So that means that Gary Oldman...
This game is absolutely fucked.
That's absolutely
David Bowie,
insane.
Better or worse than Gary Oldman?
You think Gary Oldman's better than...
I'm not
than,
playing anymore.
You think Gary Oldman's better than Dustin Hoffman?
The game's rigged.
Yeah, let's say. David Bowie...
The game's rigged. I'm not playing the rigged game.
Hoffman. He's fine, eh? He's all right.
Hoffman is the actor of his generation. Not counting Gene Hackman.
David Bowie, better or worse than Gary Oldman?
Better.
Better, he is better, yeah.
David Bowie, better than Gary Oldman?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
The game is rigged. What's the point?
I think that that's
what's the point?
It's not rigged, is it?
I mean,
it's
never not rigged. Really seen in you.
Seven.
So why?
That's less good.
Nine. So you did less.
Nine.
So you did,
seven.
So you did less good than...
Seven!
What's the prize for the winner
seven.
Of all?
So you got 7 points there, so you're not as good
as
Sean Harris, Ingrid Oliver,
well,
John Nevin,
Ten,
Daniel Cook, Daniel Lawrence, Taylor,
what's
Michael Legg, Solomon
what's
Graham,
my aggregate
Lakers,
score?
With nine, Claudie Blakely, Jordan Brooks, Suze Both Kempner,
together.
Evelyn Mott, Paul F. Taylor.
15 then.
What are we doing here? So just get them down. Claudie Blakely, Jordan Brooks, Suze Kempner, Evelyn Mott, Paul F. Taylor, Rebecca Shorex, yourself, Mark Smith, Carl Theobald with eight. But you are better than Hayley Campbell, Brett Goldstein, Tom Goodman Hill.
What a list of people with nothing to do.
Charlie
on Friday.
Hickson, Matthew Holness. Sometimes we pre-recorded them and sometimes we went to them. Charlie Hickson, Matthew Holness, Jim Hoskin, Laura Lex, Esther Smith, Ian Smith, Alex Bellagilla, Joshua Dickham, Sean McLaughlin. Seven. Trunk Women's Home Crime.
You
Glenn
listen,
Lennon,
don't you?
Anna George,
this is crazy.
Matt Hyten, Colin Holt, Andy Kindler, Merritt Larwood, Lucy Porter, John Robbins, Richard Telling, Mark Simmons, David Trent with six. Yasmin Ackerman, Rob Deeren, Tom Meaton, Jerry Page, Glenn Wool with five, Jack Barry, Bunny Galore, Taylor Glenn, and Kate Wilkins with four. And bloody, look at this, we've had a recount.
Oh,
Sam
no.
Ashurst with one.
One?
So, So keep your complaints rolling in. And we've had a lovely week here with Nathaniel Metcalf and I. But unfortunately, that second hour was... solid.
A write-off.
Absolutely solid. By
stop
the,
zoning me out.
By the presence of the most...
friend of Mark,
sexy.
Mark Grennan?
Sexily
Mark Grennan.
Named man in comedy. Smudge.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not going to say thank you.
Why would you?
Why would
start
I?
Now?
Why
You're also
I?
A fan of sport. we're going to play out with actually your favourite song. So thanks for listening. Please send in any.
I think I've been slammed.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.